Alrighty, let's do this. 1, 2, 1, 2. Mic on, camera on. We're live. Hey everybody, welcome to the live stream. Politics, culture, and some other shit. And tonight we're going to be talking about literal shit. We're going to be talking about hashtag the Third Reich. Tories have been, I'll explain anyway, but it's been trending on Twitter and socials, so it's very funny. And then we're only going to be talking a little bit about that. Going to be blasting through this because there's a football match on the TV that I need to get to. And then I'm going to be talking about Simon and everything you need to know about Simon. So come and check it out on the YouTubes. Download the thing on your podcast app. Like, share, subscribe. You know it. You know the thing. You should do that. So what I've been doing, not much as it happens. Spent most of the weekend getting quite drunk, and I won't mention the football match, because I do have a lot of lovely friends who support the other team. God rest them. May they rest in peace, for they were fucking well and truly crucified. And we're talking about Liverpool, Manchester United, as you probably know. And Liverpool got a 5-0 result, which was not I didn't expect us to win. I think most of us did. But in the manner of the win was kind of shocking, really. And I heard some pundits talking about that Liverpool played really well. I disagree. I don't think Liverpool played very well at all. I don't think they had to. I think Manchester United's sort of just capitulation was so bad. Liverpool were able to just sort of stroll about for quite a bit of the match, especially in the second half. So, listen, it swings and roundabouts. Eventually, it's going to be Liverpool's turn to get their teeth kicked down their throat by Manchester United, but for now, we shall enjoy it. I shall enjoy it. If you're a United fan, you definitely won't enjoy it. Right. So, to the thing. As I said, I want to blast through this. This is going to be an hour tops. I'm not going over the hour. If I don't get it in, I'm pulling the plug on it because, as I said, I don't have time. I have to go and watch this match. So, as I said, I haven't been doing much. Kind of, Richie and Lisa's relatives were over from England, from Bradford. Lovely, lovely people. And I think they went back today. And we spent most of the weekend getting rather drunk with them. And it was great crack. We had a lot of fun. And then, there's not much else. My daughter, she's joined a wee band now. She's playing bass in a band there up in Belfast. Very proud of her. So I can't wait to hear what she's going to be up to. And I'm not going to be one of those guys. I saw a photograph a few months ago, and it was a picture of a dad sort of helping a young girl with literally putting his fingers on her guitar neck to make the chord, and her face just was like, "Dad, don't, just fuck off and leave me alone." Bad enough. The dad was David Gilmour from Pink Floyd. The poor girl. Honest to God. Could you have felt any more sorry for someone? And so I'm not going to be that guy. I'll offer my help if it's asked for. And it will be minimal at best. They don't need my help. Maybe a couple of technical things. If that. So I'm not going to get in the way of that. So I'm very proud of her for doing that. It's going to be fantastic. Can't wait. I heard a little bit of it tonight. And I'm very excited for her. She's very talented. Very good. What else? Tomorrow, I'm going to QFT with my Irish language class. I do that on a Thursday night. And we're going to go and see a film. I'll show you. I have it loaded in here. I'm a bit pissed off because there it is there. Arc, that's called. I'll pull that music down. Arakt, which means monster. And it's, I'll read the thing. More is the thing. Let me get the thing here. There it is. So, set on the eve of the famine. So, 1845, something like that. Accused of a crime he didn't commit, Coleman Sharkey has to abandon his family and flee to a remote island when the famine engulfs his community, takes his wife and child. He is left with nothing but a solitary life. Coleman evades the law and fights starvation until he meets a girl named Kitty, who helps him find a reason to live. Yeah, and it's on QF. It's Irish language. That's what I should have mentioned. So it's an Irish language film. Has subtitles, thank God. I wouldn't manage it without it. So we're all going to go down. There's a load of us from the class going down. And my brother and Janie's going to come with me. And I'm really looking forward to that. So this was put on the QFT. And they had to put extra nights on because of the demand. They kept selling out, which is fantastic. Another film set around the same time, Black 47. Another, it's Irish language, but it's subtitled. But there's a lot of English in it as well because there's a lot of English characters in it. Lots of Irish characters, and the Irish characters all speak Gaelic. So that's good. You should check that out. So Black 47, but this one's current. Arakt, A-R-R-S-C-H-T, Arakt, C-H is pronounced, you get a wee throaty thing going on with C-H in the Irish language, so you get, and then the T at the end of it, Arakt, yeah, so, you should check that out. I wanted to play you the trailer, but I can't, because this will get a copyright strike, this video will get, and then, there's no point, if I get a copyright strike, there's no point in doing it. So, but there you go. So you should go and see that. I think you should go and see that. I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. We're going tomorrow evening. There it is, Thursday 28th of October, 2021. We're going to the 10 past 9 showing. Yeah, brilliant. So what else? I have a couple of things written there. Right, so, yes. Real quick, I'm not, as I said, I'm going to blast through these. I wanted to do this article for you in full, and it's about David Putnam. So David Putnam, the famous English director, producer, film producer, Sir David Putnam, don't you know? Well, not actually anymore, but that's what the whole point of the thing is. So, David Putnam, the famous movie producer, produced films like Chariots of Fire, was one of them. That's quite a while ago, but he has been, oh, who's on the thing? Sorry I buy it, tell me, Simon, my battery is finished, amen, buy amen the rest, your opinion or my bad, I don't know what any of that means, someone's talking to me on the thing, on YouTube, and I don't know, tell me, okay, we'll get there. I think they're asking me, what is it? I'll tell you. Wait. We're getting towards the end. So David Putnam, right? David Putnam, Sir David Putnam, House of Lords, right? In England, the upper chamber, as they call it. And he's resigned. Now, he lives in West Cork, in Skibbereen, I do believe. And he made a massive speech in the House of Lords. Oh no, I don't want the speech. Oh, hold on. No. Oh yeah, so here it is. So, announcing his retirement from the House of Lords over the weekend, West Cork resident and Oscar-winning producer David Putnam accused the UK government negotiators of displaying pay ignorance of Ireland during the Brexit negotiations on the border. In a speech delivered on Friday, Mr. Putnam was heavily critical of the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson and said democracy in the UK was now facing multiple dangers. To hear from government ministers with a straight face that it was going to be relatively simple to negotiate a significant trade deal with the United States, all the while remaining blithely ignorant of the immense political sensitivities across the island of Ireland, was either astonishingly stupid or downright lie, he said. Later in his speech, Mr. Putnam, who has lived in West Cork for more than 20 years, accused Boris Johnson of being leader of a populist government. He said he was embarrassed by the country and by the country Britain has become since it voted to leave the European Union. Mr. Putnam was speaking. So his speech is in the, if you Google it, it's in the article. It's very, very long. I've read it all. It's brilliant. I like it. I'm not going to read it because it is very long. It's like it'd take you an hour to read it. But he talks about, the British government's attitude towards Ireland. He talks about lots of things, but he said something that made me feel sad for him. He said that he's almost like he's reevaluating his Britishness. He's reevaluating what it means to be British, because the values that he understood Britain to be, whether you think they're, you know, for me being British, it's deeply connected to empire and cruelty, but it's not all bad. Obviously, I mean, you know, the Britain has made the NHS and everything best thing ever, but for him it must have meant more because he is British and he identifies as English. And for him to get to this stage of his life and be so sad and saddened by what's happening, it must be an absolute heartbreaker. Even though he lives in West Cork, well, he'd be a part of the international class, wouldn't he, really? They kind of move about, but it's kind of sad. I do find it very sad. I'm saddened. I feel a lot of sympathy for him. He seems like a nice sort. He talks very highly about Skibbereen Rowing Club. Remember the two brothers from Skibbereen that got the Olympic medal? Pull it, dogs. Yeah. He loves those guys. He his neighbour is their coach. So I felt very sorry for him, you know. So, yeah. So we're going to push on. I wanted to show you this from last week. So, you know, we spoke about Farage, the fucking gift that keeps on giving. Let me just see if this is the right one. I'll put this away. So, Nigel Farage, you know he does this thing, right? They have a few things loaded in from last week that I never got to. You know he does this thing where you give him 87 quid, 87 euro, and he will read a message, like a birthday message to someone, a fan. Hard to believe, I know, but people do this. Just on a side note, we got offered, someone says that there was a guy in a brewery in California. I can't remember his name. It was only a short while ago. I should remember his name, but I can't. And his partner, or maybe it was someone that worked at the brewery, I'm not sure, said he's retiring, but he's a huge fan. And he uses our music in the little videos he would put up on Instagram, you know, the Bonnevilles. And she says, would you send him a wee message? You know, he'd be really appreciative. And if you need paid, would you, you know, we can do that. And I was, he paid, but I didn't understand. So I sang him a wee song, sent him through the message. Now, this is what this is. This is what she meant. Because celebrities do this now. And I was unaware of it. I still wouldn't have asked for any money. I would be too embarrassed myself. But obviously, Farage, this informs pretty much all his politics. That if you pay him enough, he'll fucking say anything. And we had to hear this. He's now in the rat. I did talk about this the other week, but we'd hear. There's an. It
well,
came
hello,
twice.
Gerard. It's Nigel Farage here, and Colin and Mag have been on to me because they want to wish you a very happy 71st birthday.
Now, happy birthday, Gerard. The Gerard he's talking about is Gerard Adams. Right? Now, this is after the other video. This is after this one. Oh, no, sorry.
This message is for Brian Kelleher, Brexiteer, and I hope you have a great birthday. This comes from your good friend Aidan. Now, it's a bit early in the day, so all I've got actually is coffee, but I hope you enjoy a few pints with the lads tonight. Up the rah!
That happened. That was real, right? I played that the other week. Check this one out. He did it again. Watch this.
This message...
Again, the Gerard in the video is Gerry Adams, right?
This message is for Brian Kelleher, Brexiteer, and I hope you have a great birthday. This comes from your good friend Aidan. Now, it's a bit early in the day, so all I've got actually is coffee, but I hope you enjoy a few pints with the lads tonight. Up the rah! Well, hello, Gerard. It's Nigel Farage here, and Carl and Mag have been on to me because they want to wish you a very happy 71st birthday. And they're looking forward to seeing you and some of the old team back at Chucky Arlaw's in Brighton. I've had the full story. You were the team leader there for many years. And they now want to wish you a belated, because we kind of missed it by a couple of days, but a belated 71st birthday. And they hope you're having a very happy retirement. As do I, Gerard. Enjoy.
Gerard Adams. He doesn't say Adams, but it is Gerard Adams. 71st birthday. It was Jerry Adams' birthday last week. The old team in Brighton went to Chucky Arlaw's. So he ends up going on the Claire Byrne show because this is all connected. Remember to the GB News thing about, and I showed you that thing from that woman last week about saying about letting migrants drown and everything drifting to the right. Now, these people aren't going to be happy with Brexit. They want Ireland to exit, as they call it, as well. But they've a fucking no chance of that at the minute anyway. Ireland's, the EU favourability in Ireland is absolutely enormous. And after the fucking shit show, literally, of what Brexit is turning out to be, I would say it's actually going up. But so he goes on to the Claire Byrne show after he did the first video. Where do you see this?
And how is it? And why don't you ask yourselves in Dublin a question? Why did you fight the British? Why did Irish nationalists fight the British for 500 years? 500 often very bloody, difficult years until the 1920s. What was the point of it if you're now governed by European
I think people will be entertained, debate, Nigel, to hear you talking about
this. And that may be too inconvenient
this.
For all of you in Dublin. Oh, I'm sure. Yes, of course.
I know that you apologised for the birthday greeting which you delivered in the last couple of days. But I want people to see just how much you know about the history and culture on this island.
Now, it's a bit early in the day, so all I've got actually
she
is
plays
coffee,
the video live on TV.
I hope you enjoy a few pints with the lads tonight.
I think they should do a bit of that.
Up the Ra, Nigel. I mean, I know that you said sorry. I know you get 87 quid. It's entirely within your rights to do that. But come don't try and lecture the Irish people about the culture and history and precarious nature of peace on this island. You haven't got a clue.
If you want
haven't got a clue and will never have a clue, doesn't want a clue, will never know a clue. What a fucking asshole. Now, I struggle with people like this. I struggle with that accent. That posh English accent. They're so clearly out. They've absolutely no social conscience at all. So clearly have no social conscience. They don't care about anything. Margaret Thatcher said it. If you don't care about society, there's no such thing as society. Then there's no such thing. If that's what you believe, by all means, have at it. But that's not what they say. Sunny uplands, everything's going to be better. It is not going to be better, not for these people. This is why we need a socialist revolution, and I mean that, a revolution. Not violent, but a revolution nonetheless. So, we'll go on to the first big top. They're all my wee updates, but they're all connected. They're all connected to this. This is the first story, right? This week, do you know what? I'll just read the article because it explains it perfectly. Look at the lovely Surfers Against Sewage. I love those guys. So I'll read the article and it'll explain it. This is from the Daily Mail, by the way. So this is a right-wing Tory supporting paper. So I've deliberately picked a report from a right-wing paper. Furious Tory MPs vote to allow water companies to dump raw sewage into Britain's rivers and seas. I'm going to read that again. I have not misspoke there. Fury as Tory MPs vote to allow water companies to dump raw sewage into Britain's rivers and seas. And just in case they don't mention it in the article, by fuck have they done it. Britain is ringed with shit. I'm serious about that. The map of all the sewage effluent that you can, there's a map that marks it all out. It is, I wonder, could I get it actually show you it? Sorry, just stay with me one second. There it is. Brilliant. Got it. Right, I'm going to throw up this map. Well, I got the article, I didn't get the map. Hold on. Ah, bollocks. I have to download a thing. Stay with me. This is worth it. There it is. Wait, do you see this? Right. Got it. Stay with me. So there's the map. I know you people that are listening to this, which is the majority of you, by a long way, can't see this. But look at that there. Look at the fucking state of that. All the red axes. Oh, wait. That's not even it. Oh, no, it is. All the red axes that are on the screen, and you can see, and they're black crosses and all this sort of stuff. That is where all the effluent is getting poured out. Now, there's quite a few green ones there, to be fair. But this is staggering stuff. Absolutely fucking staggering stuff. But there you go. So here's the article. I want to get through this because I want to do something good on salmon. Right. MPs are facing a backlash after voting against amending a bill to stop water companies dumping raw sewage into Britain's rivers and seas. So the Tory MP, the Tories voted against the bill. There was a bill, it had passed through the House, it was going through the House of Lords, and they voted against it to stop this happening. Just 22 Conservatives rebelled against the government last week by voting for an amendment to the Environment Bill, which sought to place a legal duty on water companies not to pump raw sewage into rivers. Sewage pollution is a key component of what MPs have heard is the chemical cocktail of pollutants going into rivers, with raw sewage being discharged into waters more than 400,000 times last year. The amendment, introduced in the House of Lords by the Duke of Wellington, would have also forced water companies and the government to take all reasonable steps to avoid using combined sewer overflows, which regularly release untreated waste into rivers and seas. So, the Environment Bill went through the House of Commons. It gets kicked up to the House of Lords. The House of Lords read it and debate it. And then if anybody wants to put an amendment, they say so. The House of Lords vote on the amendment, which they did. The bill then gets kicked back to the House of Commons because then they have to. And this is where it's been knocked down. Campaign groups, including Surface Against Sewage, said it was crucial to ensure action to tackle sewage pollution started now. But Environment Secretary George Eustace recommended MPs reject amendments to the bill, which comes just days before Boris Johnson hosts the world leaders at the COP26 climate summit in Glasgow. So you know about this, right? The COP20. I did an article on this a few months ago. It's sponsored by Unilever. This is a fucking shit show as well, in my opinion. Literally the same week that this is about to happen, that this COP26 is happening, this is what Britain is doing. Dumping tons of shit into its own seas. The vote caused huge backlash on social media, with Twitter users posting images of the MPs who shot down the amendment. So there's a few tweets here. Sam Brooke, don't know who it is. What sort of person allows water companies to pump raw sewage into our water? I fucking have no idea. It's a very fair question. Jenny Jones, I'm furious about this. We put peers in protection for, Jenny Jones is a peer. So we peers put in protections for chalk streams, rivers and beaches to protect them. So that's what they were trying to do. There was a part of the Environment Bill, a big part of it, was to protect and they were putting in extra legislation because England has lots of chalk streams and they're kind of unique. And they put in this bill to get these environments protected and to try and... what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, I haven't got it. Build new ones, make new ones, or restore destroyed ones. Oh, God help me, I can't remember. But so they were putting in specific legislation to protect the water. And then the Tories do this. Anyone care to defend the government for voting to dump raw sewage into our waterways? Surely even the most ardent government supporters can't defend this one. And it is very true. And why did they do it? Say, why was it done? You're about to see. You won't believe. You won't believe. So there's a tweet on the screen, right? I'll read it out to you. And now they have to discharge raw sewage into the sea because they can't get the chemicals to clean it up because of Brexit. Un-fucking believable. They can't get the chemicals to do the necessary cleanup of this effluent. So instead of, what does the government do? We'll just change the law to allow the companies just to dump it into the sea. Brexit. Literally Brexit. And this is why the Third Reich has been fucking, hashtag the Third Reich has been trended. I laugh my whole clean. I am bereft of whole now because of this. I laughed it clean off when I saw that one. And if you go onto Twitter or onto, there you go. There's someone's put up a wee meme. You can see it on the screen there. Stool Britannia. Britannia waves the rules. So if you go onto your social media and hashtag, you just type in that hashtag as a search, you'll get plenty of more information about it. Now, there is good news. Look at my wee surfer buddies there. They're class. I love surfers. The government has backpedaled. Let me just get it. Makes a U-turn. So from the Surfers Against Sewage website. Last night, following a landslide vote in the House of Lords to legally oblige water companies to take action to stop pumping raw sewage into the environment, the government shifted course and announced it would enshrine into law a duty on water companies to progressively reduce adverse impacts of sewage discharges. Now, that very sentence is it's just a trap. The whole sentence is just a trap. They would enshrine to progressively reduce. All these things are all open to debate and to interpretation. If they progressively reduce, what does that mean? You know, the government, if they reduce it by 1 litre a year, they are progressively reducing it, so therefore they're doing what they said. And that's how they get away with this shit. Shit. Literally. This is a huge step forward in our mission to end sewage pollution. Water companies must be legally forced to act, and the government now appears to have been forced to move in the right direction. They got a lot of shit off from this. I need to stop using that word with regards to this story. They got a lot of kickback about this from their constituency. As I said, even the most ardent Tories not going to back this. This is a disaster. The issue was back in the House of Commons this week, and apparently I think the government has sort of made them stop for now. So they're not allowed to continue with this. So, what do you think? I mean, that's just staggering. It really is. It's beyond staggering. I struggle with things like that. I don't understand. There's a complete disconnect. And to me, this comes back to one of the most extreme consequences of modern, certainly, well, all capitalism, but modern capitalism more so, that there's no, you don't seem to be encouraged to make a connection between you and your living environment. An environment is there to be exploited, and only exploited, and it'll never run out. And if something goes wrong, we'll be able to develop a technology to fix it. This is clearly bullshit. This is all bullshit. We are our environment. No environment, no us. That's it. That's your first, that's your getting on and you're getting off point. You're getting on that bus and you're getting off it at the same stop. We are our environment. And when we don't look after it, we don't look after ourselves. If you don't look after the, if you don't do what you can to protect your, to encourage the protection of your environment, or if you're not outraged by these stories, then you don't care about your children. It's as simple as that. And the protesters that are going out there in London and other places and doing the sit downs and stop and I back them. I back them fully. And that wee girl, what do you call her? I can see her wee face. Can't remember her name. I back her too. I think she's 100% right. Greta Thunberg. I think she's right. She's absolutely right. Now, can she be criticised? Is she taking money from certain... I have no idea. Apparently people say these things. But they've been saying these things about environmentalists since there's been environmentalists. So I don't believe those people. If she goes up and stands in the UN and she gives people a bollocking and she manages to fucking create a little bit of awareness, then fair enough, I'll take it. Because nobody else is fucking doing it and it needs done. And she's only a wee, and she's only a girl and there's only so much she can do anyway. She's one, I mean, don't mean she's only a girl. I mean, she's only one person. There's only so much she can do anyway. So I back her. And for me, the climate, I do believe that we're in the midst of a climate catastrophe and it is the single most important issue. Right. Here we go. Siren special. Again, I'm going to blast through it because up the reds, Davey Lennon's on the YouTubes with me. Indeed, mate. Indeed. So, oh, I should have showed you. Well, I won't. I've hit the story, so I won't. I won't go back to it. There was more there on Instagram. So, Siren. What is Siren? You know what Siren is. You know what Siren is. So, let's do this. So what is Siren? Siren is the Celtic festival that gives us a modern day Halloween. Right? And it's one of those things, the reason I talk about this stuff like this is because there we go. It's really kind of weird to me because this was our thing. Not that anyone else can't have it. They can, of course, and they can do what they like with it. We don't own shit. But it's gone away and it's come back as Halloween, and we now do a more Americanized version, of, certainly in this part of Ireland, a more Americanized version of Halloween than our own version. There's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't do our own version. I mean, the version I grew up with, Halloween has changed from when I was a child, and most of you guys, a lot of you guys listening to this or watching this, will remember how different it's become. We carve pumpkins instead of this. Look at this thing behind me. This is a turnip. And I always said it. They're far scarier than a pumpkin. They kind of look like a wee Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle a wee bit, actually. But they're far scarier than a pumpkin. And I never saw a pumpkin in my life until it got imported back from America. I don't know when this happened. It kind of past sort of 15 years, maybe. It was maybe more. I can't exactly remember. But all of a sudden, we were carving pumpkins and we were saying trick or treat. We used to go sing songs as kids. We used to dress up as the wee monsters and go around the streets and beg for sweeties. But you have to sing a song. If you didn't sing a song, you didn't get in. And it was kind of that. So I think that was better. And I do think it would be better if we just sort of kept those traditions alive. Now, I know in plenty of parts of Ireland, they are alive. And the Americanized versions of which I'm referencing aren't dominant. But it was one of the weird things too. So you do trick or treat. And I was thinking about this during the week. Trick or treat is perfect for an American version of Halloween. It's like, give me what I want or else. It's so capitalist. You dig it? And there's absolutely no spiritual connection to it. So I'm going to read you an article here which explains historically where it come from, etc. And then I'm going to read you a little bit more about how it's celebrated. So Samhain in Ireland. Samhain, by the way, for those listening, is spelt S-A-M-H-A-I-N. So Samhain in Ireland is often referred to as Halloween. But realistically, both are separate celebrations. Halloween originates from the ancient celebration of Samhain, when the changing of the seasons and the dead were honoured. Marked the end of the bright half of the year known as Beltane and the start of the dark half of the year in the Celtic New Year calendar. It began at sunset in the modern calendar October 31 through to sunset November 1. Although festivities in Ireland would be over several days rather than one, this would have been an important time for Irish Druids, a time of dread and anticipation. Days got shorter, nights got longer, a sign that nature's decay was about to begin. It also signals the end of the grazing season, when only breeding animals are kept for the end of year slaughter. The harvest also had to be completed by this date. It has had its roots in an old Irish tale that says if any crops are left out after November the 1st, they may be spoiled by the fairies. I remember we were talking about the puka a while back. If you don't get the blackberries, if you haven't got the blackberries in by the same time, the puka pisses on them. Right? Actually, I had some blackberries on off a bush the other day, and they weren't very sweet. I think they're pretty much gone. Good for jam. So, food was offered to the gods and the dead, with great feasts being held. People would dress up to scare off evil spirits, and they would go from home to home gathering donations of food to offer up to the gods and dead, a ritual that was also followed in Scotland. Over 2,000 years ago in Ireland, there were four fire festivals to mark the turning of the season. Samhain being important, it was at the start of the dark half. The beginning of Samhain was marked by the Great Fire Festival on the hill of Lactga. Struggling with that one. The Hill of Ward. The hill was also named after the powerful druidess who died giving birth to triplets. She was the daughter of the Mag Rú, the druid. The Great Fire Festival played an important role in the rituals of the Samhain. It gave light and warmth for the dark days ahead. The druids of Ireland gathered around a great fire to offer sacrifice to all the gods. Other fires in Ireland would be extinguished, and the people were forbidden to kindle fires except for this great fire. The fires would guide the path of the friendly spirits, and the people would wear masks and costumes to ward off any evil spirits that found their way from the other world. That's why we dress up, right? The great fire would have been visible from the Hill of Tara, which was the primary ceremonial centre of Ireland, where the coronation seat for the High Kings was held. The Feast of Tara would have been held at this time, which lasted several days, 3 days before Samhain and 3 days after. This was a great gathering of people who honoured the dead, proclaimed laws, festivities to entertain. It was a time of truce. All feuds were set aside and disputes were settled by the Ollams, who were the high-ranking people in society. The Feast of the Dead. It's at this time of year that the link between the world and the other world is at its thinnest. This is why the spirits come across when the veil between the living and the dead is at its thinnest. This allows the dead to return to this world using doors of the sieve so that they could warm themselves amongst the living. Great feasts were held in honour of the dead, with a place set for ancestors who may visit from the other world. After the large supper, the untouched plate of food would be placed outside to be left for the wee folk, such as the fairies and even pookas, who were very active on this night. Celebrating the dead was of great importance, which is evident from the magnificent cairns and patched tombs built across the country. Some of the cairns and tombs played a significant role during the Sound. This is still visible today. On Slieve na Cailí, the hill of the witch or hag, visible from Tlachta, there are 35 cairns or passage chambers built over 5,000 years ago during Neolithic times. On the Samhain sunrise, a standing stone within one of the chambers is illuminated by the sun marking the quarter cross days. So, let me get, stay with me. So, Samhain is often mentioned in Irish mythologies with tales such as Éilín Magna, who was a fire-breathing goblin from the other world and a member of the Two-Hooded Annan. Every Samhain, Éilín would arrive at the Tara and burn it down. And he did this for 23 years until he was killed by the young Finn McCool, of all the people, Fionn McConnell. There are also tales of the Nemed people who feared the mysterious Fomorians, who represented personifications of chaos, darkness, death, blight and drought. The Nemeds paid a heavy tax to the Fomorians by giving them 2/3 of all the wheat, butter and milk that was produced. This tax was paid on every Samhain at the Tower of Conaid on Tory Island until they fled Ireland. That's where the last of the Fomorians was. I was reading about this the other day. There are many more events in Irish mythology that occur during Samhain, which reflects how important this time of year is. There is no doubt that our celebrations of Halloween today originated from the ancient celebrations of Samhain. The ancient traditions were finally replaced with the arrival and spread of Christianity in Ireland, who incorporated their own holidays, such as All Saints and All Souls Day. So there you go. So that's kind of what it is, right? Now, it's the ancient roots of it. But when I read that and I think about what we used to do as kids, and even what you do now, to be fair, you don't have to have a great imagination to go, oh, okay, I can see how that's a part of the thing, the tradition. And it's, I'm not being a purist about anything. I don't mind the changing of things. I just don't know. I mean, I'm not suggesting that we go right back to that sort of stuff. But a recognition, the little spiritual element is nice. The connection, the recognition of your ancestors, of the dead, the respect that you have to pay. You know, everybody goes and gets, and you give the children the sweets. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. But it'd been also nice to tell them what it represents. I think it's because it's cool, and it keeps you connected to your place, keeps you understanding your place. And these traditions, these were taken up by Irish immigrants when they went to America, and they were taken with them. So these holiday traditions would have then been sort of absorbed into their communities, and it's great, and it's a wonderful time of year. I absolutely love it. And all peoples would have had their harvest festivals. In England, they call it the harvest, they have a harvest festival and all that sort of. And these are fantastic traditions, and they should be kept alive because they're very lovely. And this is what I mean to say. And they keep you connected to your place, and they give you a sense of land and of where you are. And this is where the whole thing I was talking about earlier on with the Third Reich thing. Extreme capitalist, the modern extreme capitalist, it's important for that system to remove you from that. A sense of, if you're working class, you're a migrant worker. So to tell you, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. Well, the only reason you have to go somewhere else is because not working here, because maybe it's been shut down, closed, destroyed, blah, 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 blah. Capitalism has decided, no, not here, there instead, so you have to move. But then, how do you set down your roots in your community? How do you become a society? That's where Margaret Thatcher, again, comes in. No such thing as society. She says there's no such thing as society because she's strong, a big reason as to why people have become disconnected from their society and their community. And that's why I think these things are important, and they keep you connected. If you feel connected to your community, and your, then literally you're not going to let people pour tons of shit into the water that you drink, and the sea that you swim in, and the sea that you connect your catch your food in. But we're not, so we do. Let them do it, usually. So, here we go. So, as Christian Irish Halloween traditions, we know this. We know this, right? So, I think this is on an American website. As Christianity spread across Europe, including Ireland, pagan rituals of Samhain died over time. In its place, Halloween became the main festivity, although some traditions of the Samhain remain. The custom of trick-or-treat was founded in Ireland when children and the poor went door to door at Halloween. They sang songs, offered prayers for the soul of the dead in return for food, usually a soul cake, which is a flattened bread contained fruit. This tradition was known as souling. Never heard of that in my life. As I said, there's different traditions all over the country. So, the custom of dressing up comes from the old Celtic tradition, when people used to dress in costumes that resembled evil spirits in order to placate them, because they didn't want them bringing them back. And so whenever the souls go back to their world, their plane, you didn't want them bringing you with them. At Halloween, when the veil between the living and the dead is at its thinnest, men would have dressed in white and blackened their faces to resemble the dead, to acknowledge them and so appease them that they might not visit the homes of the living. Or if you were to meet a spirit in your travels, they would accept you as one of their own, and not be tempted to carry you away in the morning. And the jack-o'-lantern, where did the jack-o'-lantern come from? In America, it's carved out of a pumpkin, but in days long ago, the Irish would have used a vegetable, typically a turnip or a swede. Not that long ago, I was using it in my childhood, and we made these yesterday. We made three of these yesterday, and they are scarier. They do look awful. Look at him. I do think he looks like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle a wee bit, though. Sort of a mutant one. More mutant than ninja. This tradition was taken to America along with American immigrants, the Irish immigrants. The origin of carving is unclear, but an old Irish folk tale tells of a stingy jack, a lazy blacksmith, who tricks the devil and traps him using a cross and refuses to free him until the devil agrees not to take his soul when he dies. Many years later, Jack dies, and because he was lazy and no good during his life, he has refused entry into heaven. So he turns to the devil, who will not back down on his promise and refuses to take his soul. Distraught, Jack cries out that he has no light to see his way through the darkness of eternity, and laughing, the devil throws him a flame that has come directly from hell and will never extinguish. So Jack is forced to carve a lantern out of a turnip that he may find his way as he wanders the earth for all eternity. He became known as the Jack-o'-lantern. There you go. So in Ireland, this is a big mad American website. So the city of Derry has become the best place to visit for Halloween. All true. What did the Irish eat at Halloween? Toffee apples. True. Colcannon. Potato farls. We eat those all year round anyway. Homemade apple pies. True. Irish stew. All year round anyway. True. So there you go. And I'm going to finish with this. This is a good one. Remember I told you the story about Lisa, my friend Lisa, mocking the banshee, and then she goes out into the night when we were up in Donegal the other week, and then she comes back looking like a banshee. Guess what she's dressing up for Halloween? We're having a big Halloween party on Friday night, because it's Richie's birthday, so it's not strictly Halloween night, but guess what she's dressing up as? That's right. You guessed it. Banshee. So there we go. All done. Hope you enjoyed that. If you did, like, share, subscribe, please. Would really appreciate it. I'm going to go and watch my football game. I hope you have a great Samhain. Have a lot of fun. If you could do one of those wee traditions. That would be cool. I think getting the kids to go back around the houses singing again would be the best one myself, but I can't see that happening. But maybe carve a turnip. They're very hard. Bake them first. And another wee tip for you is use a drill. So get a drill, get a big drill, a drill with a big bit on it, and drill the middle of it out. Because if you try and do it with a knife, cut the fucking hands off you. So you can try that. Once you get it hollowed out, it's easy. So you just cut the top off, drill the middle out, and then work away. So yeah, so there you go. I hope you enjoy it. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends, do the thing. Good night, everybody. I hope you have a great weekend. Bye.